Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, we welcome back to our studios longtime guests. The Mystic River Chorale is here. Frank Martignetti is back. Welcome back, Frank.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
Nice to have you with us. Frank is the artistic director of the chorale and the president. Frank's boss is here. Ray Brown, welcome back, Ray.
Thank you, Michael. We thoroughly enjoy visiting with you.
Nice to have you back on Conducting Conversations. It's an occasion that we usually celebrate sometimes twice a year, but it's been a while since we've seen you, so we want to catch up on what's going on with the Mystic River Chorale. We know there's a concert coming up very soon, just in about next week. So today being the 11th of January, the concert's going to be on the 18th, correct, Frank?
That's correct.
All right. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on what's happened since we've seen you last? Anything new and exciting in the chorale?
Oh, a lot. This is our 31st season. We welcomed some wonderful new members, and we welcomed a new accompanist this year, and Leslie Merwin, and she's been a terrific collaborator, very experienced person, and she's also a registered nurse.
So
she's a very versatile person,
you know,
and can give us first aid, you know, when that's necessary as well.
Right. You know, they hit a bad chord and you kind of keel over backwards, then they, you know,
got my back in more ways than one.
Ray, how is the membership of the chorale? What does that look like? About how many people right now?
We absolutely level off at about 40. We get a few new ones. We lose a few of the previous members, but we're pretty consistent with 40.
And is this the kind of thing where if someone comes to the concert on the 18th of January, which we'll talk about those details, if they like what they hear, is there a way they can join the chorale?
Absolutely. We offer auditions twice a year in the spring and again in the fall, and it's an open audition. It's never intended to be intimidating in any way. It's just so that Frank can listen to them and make sure that they can get out of their own way vocally.
And if they get intimidated, there's a nurse standing by. So that'll
exactly help. A nurse who went to Juilliard. It's quite amazing.
Okay.
And you know, with the auditions, one of the things I'm proudest of is that when people do come into the chorale, they're often new to the area, and when they leave the chorale, it's often because they're leaving the area. It's not, you know, people tend to stay.
Right.
Unless their life takes them elsewhere, which
right.
is a
whether
wonderful thing.
Retirement or job change or off to college or whatever the situation might occur, which happens with a lot of choruses, so that's not new. But the level of the Mystic River Chorale has obviously been sustained by Frank over the few years that he's been there now. And Frank, just a little bit of background on you. You are not a Mystic, Connecticut person.
I am not. I'm a New York City-based person for the last few years. I'm a longtime New Haven resident. And I, in a given week, I teach at the University of Bridgeport. I direct the Mystic River Chorale. I'm the director of music at Advent Lutheran Church on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And so I asked Santa for a helicopter for Christmas, but it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
There's always next year.
If your car could have frequent flyer miles, you'd be doing great, right?
It would be. It would be. I actually use a road navigation software, and apparently I'm one of the top users up there with the truckers.
Well, there you go. There you go. All right. This concert that's going to take place on January 18th, we'll get some details about that in a moment. But let's get to a piece of music that has something to do with that concert. Tell us what you brought for us first, Frank.
This concert's really fascinating to me. Franz Joseph Haydn was a servant of the Esterházy family for his entire career. You know, his job was to direct the music at the estate and to compose music as requested. And he had to wear a servant's uniform. You know, he really had a very humble lifestyle. Towards the end of his life, his duties for the Esterházys dropped noticeably. He basically had to just compose a mass once a year. and he got to go to London, and he found that he had attained some celebrity. He was acclaimed in London. His late symphonies, the London symphonies, are just masterful works, much more emotional and complex than what he had done before, and they were received to great acclaim. His late masses, of which we're performing one, the Teresian Messe, are equally intricate, passionate, impassioned. One of the fascinating things for me is we think of Schubert as more romantic than Haydn, who was a classical period composer. We did early to mid Schubert last year, Schubert's Mass in B flat, and that sounds more like Haydn, and this Haydn sounds more like Schubert. It is incredibly an impassioned work, and we're going to start with the Agnus Dei, which is a beautiful, beautiful, exquisite, passionate section of this lovely Mass.
Beautiful music is provided by the Mystic River Chorale. And Ray, the concert next Sunday is going to be where and when?
It will be at Harkness Chapel on the campus of beautiful Connecticut College, and it's at 3 p.m.
3 o'clock, Harkness Chapel, and it's been there for a while now. You've had the concerts there for a couple of years anyway, right?
As long as I've been with the group, okay. And this is my 13th year, so we go back a ways.
So more than a couple.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to have a concert. It's a beautiful facility. And it's a kind of thing that if you haven't been to a Mystic River Chorale performance, you should get out, support this group. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon starting at 3 o'clock. You get to hear some beautiful music. You get to see Frank in person. He'll be signing 8x10 glossies.
That's right.
Okay, there you go. So all of those things will happen at the concert. Frank, the music selection of putting together a concert like this, I know she told us a little bit about Haydn and his background. And as a college professor and music teacher, you probably know quite a bit more than the average person about some of these people. Does that influence you in picking certain things because you have an interest in where this came from?
Sometimes, you know, it really varies. I mean, sometimes my goals are, this is a piece I want to do, this is a piece I think the group will enjoy, or this is a piece that's going to help the chorale grow in a certain way, musically or vocally.
An educational portion of that, too, I would think.
Yeah, for the singers. Because, you know, if you don't help your singers always grow, your group is never going to change. Right. And the group is always changing and growing and getting better. So that's always a factor. Orchestra size, the size of the venue, you know, how much room you have for an orchestra and chorus, all those factors really do come together to make it possible. And sometimes things just happen. I spoke earlier about, you know, Haydn, this being a late Haydn mass at a time in his life where he had found fame for his work after a lifetime of relative obscurity and wrote these gorgeously complex, impassioned works towards the end of his life. The chamber singers on the same program are singing four motets by Thomas Tomkins, who was a Renaissance composer in England, who was a distinguished, you know, choir master and organist at a cathedral, and the Glorious Revolution forced him out of a job, saw the organ he had helped design and put in his cathedral destroyed, and saw him retire to live with his children in obscurity. So, you know, it's interesting how the politics of music, the how people's careers are made and broken can
by
be
the
shaped.
Surroundings that have nothing to do with the music itself.
Exactly. Right? And that's just a fascinating story that happened to come to the fore this time.
Okay. All right. What piece of music do you have for us next?
We're going to listen to a different part of the Teresian Messe. It's the opening to the Gloria, which is just this lovely, exuberant thing.
People interested in attending the concert can get tickets by going to a website, correct?
That is absolutely correct. Our website is mysticriverchorale.org, or they can phone 860-460-1487.
And operators are standing by.
As we speak.
All right. Well, there's only a few days left to get tickets. Don't get closed out. I know that in the past you have been sold out, so let's hope that happens again, so call for tickets right away, and that'll be a good thing to do. Frank, let's get back to the music before we take our first break. What do you have for us next? You have soloists appearing on this concert, right? Maybe you want to say something about them?
We do. We have wonderful, wonderful soloists this time, and I'm really pleased because three of them are longtime friends, and one of them is someone I haven't worked with before. Two of them, Emily Roberts Hannon, our soprano, and Richard Weidlich, our baritone, are colleagues of mine at the University of Bridgeport. They're our voice faculty. And in many music departments, the voice and choral people sometimes have conflicts. And these two people and I work together so, so well. We have such a good time together. We actually perform together on a regular basis, and this is the first time we're doing it in this way. Daniel Kamalik, our soloist, is very familiar to audiences from a lot of work in the Boston area and also the Connecticut Lyric Opera, longtime member of that company. He's just wonderful. And Valerie Coates, our alto, is a New York-based contralto, and she is just another terrific soloist. It's going to be a really, really wonderful time. All of our soloists have done a lot of work in choral music at a professional level, in musical theater, and in opera. They're just really versatile people.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, what piece of music are we going to hear before we go to break?
We're going to hear a contrasting section of the Gloria. I think this is my favorite portion of the entire Mass. It's the Qui tollis peccata mundi, you know, who takes away the sins of the world. And it's just a very lyrical, energized section.
All right. And we're going to just listen to a section of it, right?
That's right.
All right. And if you, are they going to get to hear the whole thing if they buy a ticket?
We will do the whole thing.
All right. So there
without stopping.
All right. So, but this is just a piece. And then we'll take a short break and be back with more of the Mystic River Chorale.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with the Mystic River Chorale, represented by Frank Martignetti, Artistic Director, and Ray Brown, President. And we've been talking about the performance coming up next Sunday, 3 o'clock, at Harkness Chapel. And the Mystic River Chorale is a long-standing organization. We've been listening to some great music. Frank, this was actually the music we've been listening to. Is the Mystic River Chorale?
No, the first pieces we've heard so far are the Theresian Messe, which we'll be performing shortly, next week.
And so it hasn't been recorded yet, so that's why we're not listening to the
exactly.
Mystic River Chorale. Okay.
We're going to move into some pieces from our last concert next.
All right, well, let's get to that, because we ran a little bit long in our first segment and want to get to the music, so tell us what we have.
We're going to hear George Gershwin's Summertime, sung by the chorale, and our wonderful soloist from last May, Jūratė Savaitė, Lithuanian soprano, very familiar to people in this area.
Okay, so Summertime, I can even relate to that one. I could introduce that one. It isn't in Spanish or Italian or German or anything.
We did almost a whole concert in English last May. It was really, really interesting.
Well, all right, here we go. This is, by the way, this is going to be where the living is easy.
Very easy.
Yeah. Thank you. beautiful arrangement of Summertime, recorded live by the Mystic River Chorale and soloist, and just a wonderful piece of music, kind of very easily identified, even just by the first few notes. Everybody knows it's coming.
Definitely. That was our spring concert last year, which was music from the Broadway stage and from the operatic world. And just, you know, an iconic song that everybody knows and loves.
Well, obviously from West Side Story, and West Side Story, Porgy and Bess. See, I had West Side Story in my head. I don't know why, but...
Well, we're going to get there in a little while.
All right. It's because you said Broadway, and I was, you know, but that was Porgy and Bess, right?
Yep, okay. That's right.
All right. Okay, I've got my trivia lined up, and let's get to one more piece in this segment before we take a break.
Definitely. Our next piece is from the Kurt Weill musical or opera Lost in the Stars. This was a 1949 work based on the novel, the 1948 novel Cry the Beloved Country, and it's set in apartheid-era South Africa. And it tells the story of what a murder does to a family. And this song is called Lost in the Stars, and it is the most beautiful song I can think of about deep existential despair. Mm-hmm. And this arrangement is a vocal jazz influenced arrangement sung by the Mystic River Chamber Singers.
All right, we'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more of the Mystic River Chorale.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with representatives of the Mystic River Chorale, Frank Martignetti, Artistic Director, and Ray Brown, President. And Frank, we have other things in the life of the Mystic River Chorale other than the event coming up next Sunday. There's you start getting ready right away. You don't have a lot of time off. You're going to jump right into an event that's happening in the spring. Tell us about that.
We certainly are. Our May 3rd concert is going to be all settings of American poetry set for choir. So it's we have poetry of Walt Whitman, Robert Frost.
You probably don't have any of my poetry in there.
No.
No. Okay, I'll see if I can send you something.
I look forward to reading it. Sarah Teasdale, William Carlos Williams, E.E. Cummings, and we have just different settings, very different musically. We have Randall Thompson's Frostiana, which is a very well-known and beloved piece. We've actually performed large sections of it before. We've never done the entire thing in the chorale's 31-year history, so that's a first for us. And another first is a setting of five William Carlos Williams poems called The Orchard, by Baltimore-based composer Greg Bulin, and we are giving the second performance of that piece ever. It was premiered by Coro Allegro in Boston a couple of years ago, so we're excited to have that. It's for chorus, piano, baritone soloist, flute, and horn. So my wife will be joining us as the horn soloist, which is always fun.
Now, Ray, as president, do you have to approve the fact that Frank is bringing his wife in for this high-paid position?
We absolutely do. In fact, our board sits down and has a very long discussion regarding it. We're talking about maybe having her use a pseudonym, in fact.
Okay, yeah, because you don't want to, to look like nepotism. That's right. Okay. Now, Ray, I noticed that Frank mentioned that this concert is American poetry, and so that means there probably won't be any singing in German or Italian, those other things that I related to earlier in the show. Do you find, as a singer, it easier, obviously, to do all singing in English, or is it interesting and intriguing when you have to learn a different language?
Personally, I enjoy singing in any of the Romance languages, anything with a Latin base. They're much more melodious. Actually, they're easier, I think, to sing. Now, obviously, when we do sing in English, it is our native language, so the familiarity makes it a little easier, but personally, anything in the Romance languages.
Well, you don't have to listen to the audience saying, "I couldn't understand anything you said." See, this way, if you're singing in a foreign language, then they're not going to understand. So you
Absolutely.
Can get away with a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's get to some of the music that's going to be performed next Sunday. And that's going to be, by the way, I think we should mention that the May 3rd concert, the spring concert, is going to be at the Mystic Congregational Church. So it's not at the same facility, but I know you've been there before too, right?
This is our third or fourth year there, yeah. It's right in the heart of the Village of Mystic where we rehearse, and that's kind of the center of the area where a lot of our singers do come from, even though they come from the whole region. So that's always wonderful to be right in our backyard.
If some of you are listening and haven't been to Mystic in a while, they fix the bridge. It works. So you don't have to worry about that. You can get in and out of Mystic now. It's a great town to visit. Very, very tourist-friendly. And so lots of great places to eat and have a beverage or whatever before or after the concert. So take advantage of that. Check that out. And right now, let's get to the next item you have for us. It's going to be in this upcoming concert.
That's correct. We're going to close with the Dona Nobis Pacem from the Haydn-Theresian Messe. This is the finale of the 35-minute Mass.
It's not the close of our show. It's just the close of that show.
That's correct.
All right.
Oh,
clearly that last piece starts with orchestration. So I think that's an important little sidelight that next week there will be musical instruments besides the piano.
Oh yeah, there'll be no piano actually. No, we're doing the Haydn Mass with full orchestra, and our orchestra includes members of the Eastern Connecticut Symphony, the Rhode Island Philharmonic, and the New Haven Symphony.
Wow! So you got a lot of people. That's more than just the pianist. And no pianist. She gets a day off to just stand by as a nurse.
Well, she plays the organ.
Oh, okay.
The wonderful organ at Harkness. But you, in this piece, you don't actually hear very much of the organ. It's kind of the glue holding things together. But you hear a lot of the strings. And unusually, this piece is scored for two trumpets and two clarinets, which is highly unusual in my experience.
Yeah. So there's another reason to get out and support this wonderful concert that's going to be next Sunday at 3 o'clock. And Ray, one more time, phone number and website.
The phone number is 860-460-1487, and our website is mysticrivercorral.org. We also forgot to mention earlier, Michael, that the ticket prices are a very affordable $20 for adults, $18 for seniors and students.
Excellent. So you get to hear the choir, the chorale, you get to hear the orchestration, you get to see Frank in person. And even Ray will bring you to your seat if you spend an extra $50, you'll usher them to their seat, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And one thing we should mention, Mike, is thank God this has never happened, but should we have a major weather event on the concert day, which is this Sunday of Martin Luther King weekend, we'll present it the Monday night, the next night.
Okay. So if for some reason next Sunday is inclement, check the website. I'm sure there'll be information on there about that. And the concert would be on Martin Luther King night, Monday night.
Exactly.
All right. Excellent. Good to know, just in case. Because you never know in New England what we might experience a week from now. Well, thank you both for being here. We're going to get to one more piece of music. I'm going to ask Frank to introduce. But first of all, thanks for coming in, Ray. Nice to see you again.
As I said earlier, Michael, it's always our pleasure.
Great to have you with us, and we look forward to you coming back again. And Frank, nice to have you with us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
All right, let's get to this last piece of music we're going to go out with.
Well, Mike, I must have anticipated your hunger for West Side Story, because this last piece is a lovely arrangement of Somewhere from West Side Story, sung by the chorale at our spring concert last spring.
See, I was getting Somewhere confused with Summertime, and now I'm complete. So we have everything we need.
Glad we could help you out.
All right. Thanks again, and the rest of you, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Peace and quiet and hope.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
This is Frank Martinetti, Artistic Director of the Mystic River Chorale. Please join us at 3 o'clock on Sunday, January 18th at Harkness Chapel on the beautiful campus of Connecticut College in New London for Haydn's Tiresias Messe with the Mystic River Chorale and Mystic River Orchestra and soloists Emily Roberts Hannon, soprano, Valerie Coates, alto, Daniel Kamalik, tenor, and Richard Weidlich, baritone, as well as the funeral sentences of Thomas Tompkins, sung by the Mystic River Chamber Singers.
And this is Ray Brown, the president of the chorale. For tickets, please call 860-460-1487 or go to mysticriverchorale.org. Again, that's 3 p.m. on Sunday, January 18th at Harkness Chapel,